राज श्रीमद भगवतम के शिल प्रोपार के हरिनाम संकीर्तन यज्ञ के श्री दमदार मास के कृतिक व्रत के गौर प्रेमानंदे We continue reading today, which is 16th of October, Monday, 2017, Chicago Temple, Shri Kishore Kishore Ki Jai. Continuing with the 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 14, King Pururava, enchanted by Urvashi. And today we have the text number 20, where the Urvashi herself starts speaking. Yes? Where King Pururava, granting her with compliments, saying that the most beautiful woman, calling her to sit by him and offering his services. And he promises her the protection and happiness. Yes. We see that having been cursed by Mitra and Varuna, the celestial woman Urvashi had acquired the habits of a human being before being a demigoddess. Therefore, upon seeing Pururava, the best of the males, whose beauty resembled that of a cupid, she controlled herself and then approached him. When King Pururava saw Urvashi, his eyes became jubilant in the ecstasy of joy, and the hairs on his body stood on end. With mild, pleasing words, he spoke to her as follows. Yes, and today we are reading the reply of Urvashi. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Urvasya Vacha. Kasyastvayi nasajita manodrishtishcha sundara yad angantaram asadya chavate hari ramsaya kasyastvayi nasajita manodrishtischa sundara yad angantaram asadya chyavate hari ramshaya. Please. Please, you can chat. Urvashi Vacha. Urvashi replied, Kasyaha, of which woman? Tvayi, unto you. Na, not. Sajita, would become attracted. Manaha, the mind. Drishticha, and sight. Sundara, a most beautiful man. Yat angantaram, whose chest. Asadya, enjoying. Chiyavate, gives up. Ah, indeed, Riramsaya for sexual enjoyment. Translation and purport of His Divine Grace is Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. Urvashi replied, O most handsome of men, who is the woman whose mind and sight would not be attracted by you? If a woman takes shelter of your chest, she cannot refuse to enjoy with you in a sexual relationship. Purport. When a beautiful man and a beautiful woman unite together and embrace one another, how within these three worlds can they check their sexual relationship? Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam 7.9.45 says, Yan maitunadi grihamedhi sukamhi tucham. Yes. Omagyanti nirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shni gurave namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitamena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vanchakalpa Turvyasya Kripa Sindhu Vivacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vishnavibhyo Namanamaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasani Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. So here we see the explanation of a we could say mundane relationship between a man and woman. We know that Srila Prabhupada mentions that a woman is like a fire and man is like a butter, ghee. So more close they come together, more the fire burns and more the butter melts. So we see that Srila Prabhupada says that woman is very good, man is very good, but when they come together, intrigue or difficult situation may arise. So that's why in Krishna consciousness or in Vedic culture or in spiritual culture, there is a certain restrictions or culture of relationship. It's not a free association. It's association restricted to some culture and some rules and regulations. Otherwise, we can see that, and we see from those words, that King Pururava became so much excited by Urvashi. Urvashi became so excited by the King Pururava. Although in few shlokas later, she will rebuke him, calling him the eunuch and madman and all those things. Why? Because she lost her lambs, two lambs which he treated like sons. And only because Lord Indra was missing Urvashi in our heavenly planetary system, because she was cursed and she had to go to the earth. But then Lord Indra was missing her so much, so he sent Gandharvas to steal those lambs so that to spoil relationship of Urvashi and King Pururava. So we can see it's quite a mundane situation when one person wants something for the other person which gives him sensual pleasure, then he is ready to praise that person, serve that person, please that person. But whenever the pleasurable situation ends up, immediately the relationship breaks. And we see that Urvashi very quickly changes her attitude towards Pururava. Yes?
She was rebuking Pururava, saying, "Now I am being killed under the protection of an unworthy husband." Just few shlokas before, she was praising him as the best hero. But after enjoying extensively unrestricted relationship, she becomes angry and she rebukes her husband, and he calls him coward. He calls him eunuch in the shloka number 28. And she says, "You are like eunuch, although you think of yourself as big hero." So the activities of the mind are very, very clearly explained by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. For the conditioned soul, he may fall into the situation thinking that it's real, but actually it's just the action of the illusory energy Mahamaya, which totally controls the activities of the mind of the conditioned soul. So Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, he says, "Jayato vishayan pumsa sangasti shupa jayate sangat sanjayate kama kamat krodho bijayate." And he says how the mind becomes captivated by the objects of the senses. So he says, while contemplating the objects of senses, just a conditioned soul actually cannot avoid, have no chance not to contemplate the objects of the senses. You know, you can't walk the street, you can't function at your home without opened eyes. You have to see things around. Cheers. You cannot dress yourself in the morning without contemplating the dress. You can't take shower in the bathroom without, looking around. So you want it or you don't, you have to. So Krishna says, while contemplating the objects of the senses. So that means the mind always considers, this I like, this I don't. This dress I like, this not. Taking shower, we think, oh, warm water from the tap, oh, it's so nice. Cold water, I don't take cold shower, I'll take warm shower. So this is contemplation of the sensual objects. We like certain situations and we don't certain situations. So Lord Krishna therefore says, contemplating the objects of the senses. In other words, living your mundane life routine. A person develops attachment for them. Yes? It's always much better to take warm shower than the cold shower. It's much better to drink warm tea than the cold tea. It's much better to eat the fresh cooked food than the yesterday's or old or cold food. So you develop certain attachments. I prefer this instead of that. I prefer this dress instead of that. I prefer going there at that time instead of that. So from those attachments, you cannot avoid, but the lust develops. Lust means, there is no question. If somebody says to you, get up in the morning and give up 2 hours of your sleep. Come on. Are you kidding? I'm not going to sacrifice my sacred 2 hours of sleep in the morning. I will sleep. Yes. So that's called attachment. We are attached to certain ways of action and certain things we appreciate. So that means lust. We are not even thinking about giving up our attachments. Although nowadays it's popular to say sacrifice, go out of your comfort zone. Who will agree voluntarily? By force of circumstances, yes, you have to do. But voluntarily, who will agree to take a cold shower, to get up early in the morning? No. So that means attachment developing into lust. You're just not considering sacrificing your pleasures. So that means lust. I want it, I will do it. So, and from the lust, anger arises. So we see exactly the same chain of activities in relationship to Pururava and Urvashi. Oh, first, when they met, they were excited with each other. They praised each other. They glorified each other. And they said, oh, yes, we will enjoy. And we will enjoy for sure. So that means lust. Then the intensity of enjoyment is so high and so deep. And the mind just falls into ecstasy. That afterwards, the lust is a natural sequence of such unrestricted relationship. Yeah? Anger is the natural sequence, and you cannot avoid. Like you cannot avoid not to burn yourself touching the fire. It's like, you know, no way. So the lust is like a fire. You touch it, you get influenced by it, you will be burned. And that's anger. Oh my God, what's going on? I don't want it. Well, you made a first step. You became excited. You became excited by something. Yes. And the Srila Prabhupada says, sexual intercourse or relationship. Sexual relationship between man, unrestricted between a man and woman, leads to destruction. So it should be restricted. It should be restricted by certain rules and regulations. Then the person is not like we read in today's shloka. Yes? Grihamedi. Then he doesn't become a grihamedi. Otherwise, you know, he is not to be associated with. And it is said it's even more dangerous to associate with those who are attached, who are attracted and attached to unrestricted sensual pleasures, than to become yourself attached, because you inherit the taste for unrestricted sensual pleasures from those persons. So asat sanga tyaga, which Lord Chaitanya also warns the ones who are on the path of spiritual practice, association of materially minded people who just irresponsibly exploit the remnants of their good karma. So it's just a question of time when very soon their karma will be finished, good karma, and they will have to suffer unrestrictedly. Same thing as they were thinking and trying to enjoy unrestrictedly, they will have to suffer unrestrictedly. And they would hate that. And that's called illusion. Because you don't see couple of steps ahead of you. You don't know what will gonna happen. We are just excited about the perspective of enjoying, and then you are blind. You don't know even, you don't see even couple steps ahead. And couple steps ahead, it says you will fall down into the well. You will hurt yourself, you will break your bones, you will break your life, you will break future. Yes? So therefore, it's very simple. One shloka in Bhagavad Gita, contemplating the objects of the senses, develop attachment. Attachment turns into lust. Lust gives birth to the anger. That's it. And anger is like a wildfire. Like a wildfire in California. which burns, you know, houses, everything, you know, undiscriminatingly. The fire doesn't discriminate. Oh, I will not touch this, I will touch that. I will be compassionate upon this bug, but I will burn this animal. Now this animal I will save, but I will burn, you know, fish or whatever. So, you know, the fire uncontrollably, unrestrictedly burns everything. So the anger does the same with the life of a conditioned soul. Without mercy, no mercy. Anger has no mercy. When a person becomes angry, like we see Urvashi Muni, Urvashi Devi, just some time ago was excited with Pururava Maharaj, but after some time she just curses him. Why? Because her sensual objects, two lamps, were stolen by Gandharvas, who were sent by Lord Indra. So no longer seeing Urvashi on his bed, Pururava Maharaj was most aggrieved. Because of his great attraction for her, he was very much disturbed, and thus lamenting, he began traveling about the earth like a madman. Of course, a person becomes crazy. You give him object to please his senses and mind, and then take it away after some time when he develops the attachment. That's it. The person's life is ruined. Yes. So therefore, the rule is very simple. Any mundane attachment will give immense suffering. It's just ABC. It's just ABC of life. Any mundane attachment will sooner or later, most probably sooner, sometimes a little bit later, gives definitely unrestricted suffering. So, intelligent person, by knowing those activities of the material nature, he tries to practice yamas and niyamas. You know, favorable, he accepts only those things who are favorable in Krishna consciousness and rejects those who are not. So it's all about sadhana. Sadhana is what regulated life in Krishna consciousness helps us to remain sane and safe. Krodhad bhavati samoha, samohat smriti vibramaha, smriti bramshad buddhinashu, buddhinashat pranashiti. So, from anger, complete delusion arises. And from delusion, bewilderment of memory. When memory is bewildered, intelligence is lost. And when intelligence is lost, one falls down again into the material pool. What does it mean? He don't know what's going on and what he has to do. He is completely lost and bewildered. He speculates about his situation, about the situation in the world, and is completely bewildered. So from anger, complete delusion arises. It's like, you know, like in California, houses are burned, people lost their, you know, properties. So they're just totally bewildered. Terrible situation. So when you burn, when your anger spoils and burns all your relationships, then you are like left with nothing. So from delusion, bewilderment of memory, yeah, you don't know what is good, what is bad. All that, what you thought is good, now it appears compromised. So such a person is very easily caught by so-called advertisement. You know, whatever you tell him with firm faith, he will be forced to accept. Why? Because he's weak. He's left with nothing. And when memory is bewildered, intelligence is lost. Because the memory is the muscle of intelligence. If we sit in the class and we listen to those stories, and immediately when the class is finished, we forget everything. So what's the advantage? It is said that the fish has the memory of few seconds. Like, you know, it saw, and then the very next, the fish may see that some fisherman caught her relative or whatever by hook. But the very next, and so thinks, oh, that's so terrible. But the next moment when he sees the hook with the bait, it swallows it. So it's same thing with the conditioned living entity, human being, who is totally bewildered by Mahamaya. He immediately sees, when he sees some attractive object of the senses, like a hook with a bait for the fish, immediately catches it and immediately gets hooked. Yeah? So same thing, that when intelligence is lost, one falls down into the material pool. He's not anymore a human being. He's just conditioned living entity which just eats, sleeps, mates, and defends, and don't know the consequences of that. So memory is essential in the function of the intelligence. You learn. You learn things, you remember, you draw conclusions, and you live on the knowledge, preferably transcendental knowledge. Yes? So then you don't act reactively, but you function according to the instructions, vani, of shastra, guru, and sadhu. That means you develop the faith that although having eyes, you don't see too much ahead. Although having ears, you don't remember much what you've heard. You don't learn what you've heard. So therefore, following in the footsteps of previous acharyas, of saintly persons, is essential in the life of a conditioned soul. Otherwise, the mind bewilders the living entity too bad. And then we see such situations, actually. Such situations as King Pururava. It's a classic. It's a classical situation. Excitement, enjoyment, attachment, lust, anger, bewilderment, illusion, madness. Pururava, lost object of his enjoyment, became mad. Urvashi, lost her safety and enjoyment of two lambs, became angry like anything. So we see that once during his travels all over the world, like a madman, Pururava saw Urvashi, accompanied by five companions, on the bank of Saraswati at Kurukshetra. With jubilation in his face, he then spoke to her in sweet words as follows. Again, same story again. So, you know, you go through those situations again and then again and again, and you don't learn them. So that means that your memory is lost. You know, you went through the tough suffering. And then when you see the object again, you again become bewildered. So that means the person doesn't have intelligence. He lost his intelligence. And he says, oh my dear wife, O most cruel one, kindly stay with me. You left me alone, you're a cruel lady, but please stay again. It's contradiction, you know, no common sense person would do that. I know that I have never made you happy until now, but you should not give me up for that reason. This is not proper for you. Even if you have decided to give up my company, let us nonetheless talk for some time. You know, you read those words, you can understand he's totally bewildered. He's totally bewildered. He don't know what he's speaking. He don't know what he's doing. So that's the power of illusion. Urvashi herself, she admits, saying that, "My dear king, you are a man, a hero. Don't be impatient and give up your life. Be sober. Don't allow the senses to overcome you like foxes. Don't let the foxes eat you. In other words, you should not be controlled by your senses. Rather, you should know that the heart of a woman is like that of a fox. There is no use making friendship with a woman." So in other words, she herself is 36. In other words, she herself admits that if a man falls into the dictatorship of mind and senses, she doesn't respect him. She doesn't respect him. If he becomes too much overcome by senses and like that. A woman, she seeks shelter of the man that he would help her control her emotions. But if a man falls into the illusion of, you know, sensual enjoyment, then she can't respect him because he becomes like her, who is not able to control her senses. Yes. So that's why now she preaches to him, "You are a hero, but you have to prove that. You have to prove you are a man. You have to prove you are, you know, you can control your mind and help me by giving shelter to serve you. This way I will get advantage of my, that this way I will make my life perfect. Otherwise, you're not interested." She says, "Women as a class are merciless and cunning. They cannot tolerate even a slight offense. For their own pleasure, they can do anything irreligious, and therefore they do not fear killing even a faithful husband or brother." So it's not about the woman, it's all about the mind. If your senses and mind are not controlled, you know, you can do any nonsense activity. So that's why it's very, very, very dangerous to let the mind do what he wants. That will ruin your life. And Lord Krishna warns Arjuna, the mind is your friend and enemy. Let him do, give the freedom to the mind, and you will get the worst enemy in three worlds. So therefore, in Krishna consciousness, the first thing is sadhana, this regulated life, which the mind hates, but ultimately surrenders, ultimately has to surrender, and serve the intelligence. Otherwise, if you give the freedom to the mind, nobody will help you. When the forest fire starts, who can extinguish it? And if you come approach somebody with a help, who can help you? Like, the most powerful fire extinguisher team cannot help to extinguish the forest fire. It's wild. That's why it's called wild. So the mind, when the unrestricted mind becomes wild, who can help you? Who can help you? Then you will have to do everything from the beginning. Like if your house is burned, if the forest is burned, you have to start everything from the beginning. Reconstruct, rebuild your house. So it's too much endeavor. So therefore, The best thing is to learn from the other's examples. At least it's okay to learn from your mistakes. But we see that most people, they don't learn even from their own mistakes. They repeat the same and the same and the same mistakes and suffer again and then again and then again. So this is not intelligence. This is slavery. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaura Premanandi. So, any comments or questions, please?
Did you?
Sorry. And when he controls his mind?
Comes towards a woman, he'll lose some of his power, like...
Control.
Yeah, his control, but if he controls his mind...
No. We don't say that. But... if a man comes under the control of the mind of the woman, then the woman doesn't respect him anymore. So because the woman seeks shelter of a man as a person who is able to control his mind by his intelligence. So therefore it's naturally that a woman and a man becomes attracted to each other. But there should be a culture of relationship. It's not that, you know, don't come closer. No, you can marry and you can live a pious life. Pious means performing your religious duties, and then the woman will always be happy to assist a man, helping him. Because in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that in order to be happy, and the woman and the man wants to be happy, but there are two ways: happiness in passion, like Rajagun. So it's very, very superficial and temporary. And happiness in goodness, which is long-lasting. So the happiness in goodness, Krishna explains as what is first. Tastes like poison. Like austerity. Any austerity is like a taste of poison. You have to do certain things which you wouldn't like, actually, which your mind wouldn't like. You would like maybe to stay with your beloved woman 24 hours a day. But then your work will suffer, your duties will suffer. So you can't do that, although your mind says, no, I love her so much, I can't give up her association. But then the woman will say, you are stupid, nonsense, dumb guy, eunuch. Yeah? So you have to follow certain rules and regulations. This is called culture of relationship. If you don't, then... it's not long that your relationship will be spoiled, finished, ruined by some arguments and some fight and like that. Did you die?
So, I'm just trying to reflect on the point and, so, if a man has uncontrolled senses and mind, and he gives in to this pleasure within the relationship, and then that leads to the anger and all these problems, and like basically the man becomes like emotionally disturbed because he doesn't have control of his mind and senses, so he becomes controlled and weak. So
yes,
then
weak.
So then there's because and then the woman is looking for someone, because a woman is naturally more emotional.
Yes, she is looking for someone strong.
Strong.
And
yeah.
If you become weak,
yeah, then there's
you're not interested.
Not compatible.
Interesting it anymore.
It doesn't last. It's not proper relationship. But I'm just trying to reflect on that. One question. as just thinking like the intelligence, so the main thing that we have to do is sharpen the spiritual intelligence, like is that kind of like what Bodhi Yoga is, where we sharpen the intelligence, we engage in spiritual activities by our intelligence?
So not only intelligence should be engaged in the spiritual activities, the mind also, because mind has to be engaged. So instead of looking at the TV screen, we will look at the deities. Yes? Instead of eating a food which is tasty for your tongue, we eat prasad which is tasty altogether for the mind and for the senses and is beneficial spiritually. Instead of doing activities like extreme sports or excitement sports, we dance in the kirtan. Yes? So the body, the senses, the mind, the intelligence, all of them have to be engaged in spiritual activities, not only the intelligence. Yes, intelligence is essential, as we see that. We have to remember, we have to learn and remember. It's like when a healthy person eats food, he gets nutrition, nutritious. But when a sick person eats, he may not be able to digest. So same thing, when you have digestion, you listen to the lessons, you learn, and you conclude, yeah, you digest the knowledge and you live by that. But if your intelligence is lost, you cannot make conclusions. You don't remember. You may do mistakes and you repeat them again. Why? You don't remember. You may have suffered badly, but you repeat again, like Pururava. He suffered so much that almost becoming next like a madman. But still, when he saw the object of his love senses, Urvashi again, he said he became again excited. So that means no intelligence. You have to learn. And in its essential part of spiritual activities, practices, satsang, association of saintly devotees, yes, who are living by shastra, by guru, by the instructions of sadhu. So then that has to unite us. And in Bhagavatam says, devotees coming together and practicing Krishna consciousness together, they get inspiration from each other. When I come, I see Giridhari Prabhu chanting japa. I get so much inspiration. I have to chant in his association. Yes. So this is how it works. And then at 7 o'clock we have a dating greeting. Oh, it's the most beautiful what you can see object in this world. The Lord appears in his transcendental form. And then you stay in front and pray to the deities. And you have to understand that they see you and they hear you and they know what's in your heart. And this way you understand the process that it's not by my endeavor I am progressing on this path, but by the mercy of Guru and the Shastra and the deities. So that's called intelligence. But if you think, oh, it's by my own endeavor, by my willpower, not really.
Maharaj, thank you for your class. I'll speak for myself, but I'm sure we can all relate that sometimes we repeat the same mistakes over again. Sometimes we have a good 2 weeks of Krishna consciousness, then, you know, the same thing. So you were mentioning about association, how to stay inspired yesterday and today, how to avoid bad association and stay inspired by good association. So my question is that there's so many pastimes in the Bhagavatam where it appears to be similar to this one, but it's not. Like Ramananda Roy, he appeared to be lusty. And Lord Chaitanya told Pradyumna Mishra, I believe, to take shelter of him. And so Pradyumna Mishra said, I think he's a fallen, he didn't say that, but he went to Lord Chaitanya and said, are you sure his, you know, character was questionable? So my question is that sometimes when you try to associate with devotees, you hear all kinds of things. And there may not be as worse as Ramananda Roy, but still, you know, it's like, you know, how to maintain my faith when you hear all types of things and you could commit offenses yourself, you know, by seeing someone externally. And so what is a person to do in that circumstance where you don't want to commit aparadhas, where somebody seems to be falling, but, you know, they may be the type of association you need. So can you elaborate on that a little
bit? Yeah, on the other hand, we have to be compassionate. On the other hand, we have to be compassionate. We can't, rebuke or neglect the person who is in need for the help. But like Narada Muni gives very valuable instructions to Dhruva Maharaj, saying that, speaking about three types of association, with the seniors, with the equals, and with the youngers. He says you have to serve seniors and learn from them. You have to develop friendship based on spiritual values with the equals, but not to brag yourself, oh look how good I am, and you are just fallen. And with the younger, we have to help them, be compassionate. Those who experience difficulties, those who have hard time, you know, learning, we have to support them, give them support. But main association should be with the equals, serving, practicing spiritual activities together. There is where we get inspiration. So we can't really, although maybe the juniors may worship you and glorify you, like Urvashi, who felt like subordinate situation. She was glorifying him so much, and he became bewildered by that. He thought, oh, I'm really a hero. I am a hero like anything. Yes, now I can do whatever I want. Oh. That's the hook. So same thing when you are amongst the juniors or less spiritually advanced, you may get hooked on the, oh look how big I am, how glorious I am, how expert I am. So we have to be humble and compassionate. So as you told that, yes, when you associate with devotees, you may hear so many different opinions and like that. But that means that you have to be strict with yourself, constantly reading Shastra and hearing authorized Bhagavatam and Gita classes. We can talk with devotees, we can you know, associate with devotees, and we may listen to different opinions, but we have to know the foundational philosophy, the essence of the philosophy. So in order sometimes in order to correct someone's opinion, but if a person is too strong on his opinion, well, okay, I am not part of that. So we have to know what makes a person, every one of us, strong in spiritual activities: association with this well-established devotees in spiritual practice. We have to have our own individual spiritual practice, like reading Shastra regularly, chanting, yes. And we have to have a program of contribution, serving in the temple, serving the Vaishnavas, devotees, or the instructions of the spiritual master. We have to maintain certain critical or certain strength, spiritual strength. Otherwise, too much talking, chatting, you know, freely on different subject matters, it doesn't make you strong spiritually. So Bhagavatam classes, regular individual reading, oh, that's very good practice. So we have to maintain a balance, individual practice and contributional service. Thank you very much. It was a great pleasure to spend some time with you in Chicago. We did quite a few nice programs in different places in Chicago. So thank you very much for the facilities. Thank you very much for the wonderful darshans of their lordships Kishore Kishori, Jagannath Baladeva Subhadra, and Gauri Nitai. It is always very inspirational to come and stay with you here in Chicago Temple. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much.